Hello, welcome to the Ideanomics podcast. My name is Neha Shahzad Chandrarajan, and I'm your host for today. I'm joining you from Ottawa, Ontario, which is on the unsurrendered and unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe peoples. Today we have with us Faduno Ali and Barbara Abbas. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Neha. How are you?
Good to have you here today.
Thank you.
I am going to hand it over to Faduno to introduce herself. We have Faduno Ali here from the Department of National Defense. Hi, Faduno.
Hi, thank you, Neha. Thank you for having us here. My name is Faduno Ali, and I'm with the Department of National Defense. I have been with the National Defense for a little bit over 14 years, mainly in staffing, but within the last few years, I've recently switched to the equity, diversity, and inclusion areas. I'm the workplace programs manager within ADMIE, which is an organization within the National Defense. I'm also the National Civilian Co-Chair for the Defense Team Black Employee Network here. And I'm joining you from Ottawa within the NCR. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Faduno. And Barbara, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Barbara Abbas. So I'm an executive assistant in the Regional Strategies Office in the Energy Systems Sector at Natural Resources Canada. I've been with the department, actually with the public service for 2.5 years now, so pretty new, but loving it. So much learning and growing in the last 2 years. And I'm also in Ottawa, the Night Nation's capital region.
That's great. Thanks, Barbara. So you've been in the public service then around almost the same time that I have. I think we joined around the same time. Barbara works with me at NRCan. Something that I should mention is Barbara is part of the mental health for the energy system sector.
Yeah, so it's the mental health and wellness team for the energy system sector. So it's our mini team within the department for our sector. We're representatives for our sector, but we do have a bigger team and initiative with the department.
That's great. Thanks so much, Barbara. So Faduno, I'm so glad we have you here because I mentioned of the sanctuary space that Department of National Defense did in, I think it was like an Ottawa Citizen article or a CBC article. I found it really fascinating. So I'm so glad we have you here to talk through the process and how you got started with that. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a bit about how that initiative started for you.
Absolutely. It's such an amazing initiative to have, and I think I hope for every department to somehow acknowledge or create such a space. So here within the National Defense, the space was already in existence. So it was in the form of sort of like a chaplain. And traditionally, historically, a chaplain was created for the purpose of religious-based worship, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had a space here, and we have an entire group, like the chaplaincy, that takes care of the space. And really what it was just an open space. It was just a room, a big room, and certain communities that were using it, not as much. The Muslims, the Jewish, mm-hmm. there were certain communities that were using it, but not as much. And strictly, I found that it was sort of that we weren't being inclusive, that, mm-hmm. you know, when people see worship or prayer room or, you know, it restricts a lot of other people who have other faiths, or, you know, individuals who just want to meditate and have nothing to do with an organized religion, for example. So the place existed already here within the National Defense and at the Carling campus. And so my idea was to sort of revamp, make it more inclusive, make it, you know, allow, you know, acknowledge that, you know, religious spaces have traditionally been, and just relax, whatever it is that is, you know, whether it's to pray, to meditate, just to sort of regroup and recharge during the day while you're at work. That's where the initiative came from. And of course, I wasn't alone. The senior chaplain, Major Ryan Carter, who takes care of the space, has been sort of leading this initiative and made it possible for us. So in theory, it was nice to have a space that existed already. But for those of you who would like to have a space like this, you have to start from scratch. And it's really not that complicated. You just need a room, an open space to be approved for the purpose of this. But I'm going to hand over to you, Neha,
for
your next question.
Yeah, thanks so much, Faduno. That's such a great precursor, because when I was reading the article, it was saying that, you know, it was a prayer space first. And I think mm-hmm. we have something like that at NRCan. And I think this discussion will be really helpful for people who, as they're some people are coming back to the office, would like to utilize one of these spaces, but maybe haven't found it inclusive, as you said, to mm-hmm. them. Maybe they're not part of a religion that requires, you know, prayer, or maybe they're just not part of a religion at all. So I really loved that inclusivity aspect, that it was just open to anybody who wanted to use the space. And so, Barbara, I think we used to, at NRCan, we had a prayer room space, right? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember myself using it. I would just use like one of the meeting rooms and things, but I remember having something.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we had like a assigned room, but I remember we spoke about it in one of our mental health and wellness meetings, and it was brought up. I think Melanie also mentioned that we did have this in place at NRCan, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like out there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, no, that's great. You know where the idea came from. You mm-hmm. saw that something wasn't as inclusive, and you wanted to make it such. So what was it like? How did you get in touch with like the chaplaincy? And what was it like to work with them to revamp this space?
Honestly, I just reached out. I reached out to Ryan. I use the space personally, and mm-hmm. I saw how dry it was, mm-hmm. you know, how cold it felt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, apart like as one of my side hustles, I'm an interior decorator, and I do this on outside of the public service. And so that creativity is always within me, right? Like I have mm-hmm. that lens on when I walk into a room. I looked around and I said, I can do better. We can do something about this. So I reached out to Major Ryan Carter, the senior chaplain. And I said, Ryan, let's do something about this. And I'm willing to decorate, redesign the space. That's how it started. And so we just started meeting. He was already asked to do something about the space as well. And was just in the brainstorming phase. So it was a perfect timing.
That's so fantastic. I didn't know you did interior design. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So could you describe a little bit of what the space looks like now versus what it looked like before?
Absolutely. So before, it was, like I said, four walls, right? There's carpet on the floor. Mm-hmm. And that was it. We had, some boxes here and there, and you know, we had like there's some information like the Bible, the Quran. Mm-hmm. It was like placed on the floor in boxes, but now we have some seating, you know, cushions, plants everywhere. We have like a little mini waterfall going. So what we wanted to do was play with all of the, we wanted to bring in nature, you know, so we had mm-hmm. some rocks, water, inviting. Mm-hmm. There's a huge, the windows are perfect, even though it's looking at the parking lot, but you use what you get, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of lighting. There's also a huge rug that I put in the middle, and it's round. Yes. So that signifies also, you know, the what we do is we have mindfulness classes there that Ryan leads, and we have yoga cushions that, you know, we bring all around that big circle around the rug mm-hmm. to have some conversations, but ultimately like some candles, you know, just to make it at home and mm-hmm. as comfortable as possible. We also have some prayer rugs that was made from an indigenous community, handmade. So really, we wanted to incorporate nature. We wanted to bring in culture. We wanted to bring in some of the communities as well. And on the shelves, we display books, resources that people can use and perhaps learn about a different religion or whatnot when they are sitting there.
I love how you kept it so non-denominational and not have, you know, any particular art or decorations up. Like previously, I've seen prayer rooms that have, you know, particular religions up and things like that. But like you said, the going towards the nature, having all those sounds of water, having all the plants can be really, really calming. I have to say kudos to your interior design skills, because now I would like you to please redo my living room.
Thank you.
please come and do that. This sounds like a lot of, well, there had to be a budget for this. So how did you get the funds? I mean, getting handmade prayer rugs from an indigenous community, having like a large circular rug, the yoga cushions, where did you get the funding?
So the funding came from the chaplaincy.
Okay.
That part was strictly all Ryan. He had a budget there. You know, he was asked to redecorate the space using that budget. So it came from the department. You know, there's money that is that they can invest to help people, employees feel more comfortable with the transition of, you know, going back to work. That's where the budget came from.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So how are you finding the impact that this space is now having on DND staff versus before the renovations had been done?
I've heard great, great feedback, because the idea was, earlier you mentioned religions, right? Like the idea was to stay away from that. Although, you know, we still use it, you know, we host like a monthly Friday prayers there and so on. But the idea was to stay away from that. And by doing so, we have a lot more communities that are using the space. And so the impact is huge, because the whole purpose was to make it inclusive, to open the doors, to make people feel welcomed. And that not just because it had worship or what did it have before? Multi-faith room. So when you know, by removing that, as simple as it sounds, it really allowed a whole bunch of people who would never have stepped foot in this room come and to witness and to use it. So we're just happy that people are using it.
I'm so glad to hear that, especially that now, you know, you can use it for these meditation classes that you have going on. And it is creating that a bit of a safe space, whereas previously it wasn't before. Like you said, it's not a small word, but like something like multi-faith can be barring to certain people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And even that just little psychological switch that it has opened it up to so many other different people. That's so great. Barbara, I realize I've been asking a lot of questions, so maybe I'll open it up to you to see if you have anything you'd like to ask.
Yeah, thank you so much. And this is great. I love just the idea of also just having a space, you know, like just if you need a moment during work to just sit down with your thoughts, meditate, just breathe, to just a little escape a little bit. So I did have a few questions for you, actually. We did cover a lot already, but I was just wondering, what was the reaction from senior management to the proposal in the beginning?
You know, funny enough, it actually came from senior leadership, because they saw that the space wasn't being used, right? There wasn't a lot of activities happening here. So it came from them to say, how can we repurpose this? How can we make this more interactive? How could people, the individuals, engage more? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, because most of the time it comes from, you know, having a proposal and going to senior leadership and asking them for a space and so on and so forth. But because the space existed already, they just wanted us to make it better, you know, improve it. The money was there, the space, the room was there. They just wanted us to make it better. I just wanted to also add one thing that I forgot to mention was this is just one of many, right? This
Yeah.
room is big and it could hold, you know, a large group. For example, I received questions such as, what happens if you just want to be alone? You know, most
yeah.
and more importantly, also most of us with the return back to work, for most people, it's a reality to face, you know, their whatever it is that was causing them harm, for example. So for some who are being discriminated, oppressed, whatever was happening there in terms of racial or other forms of discrimination at work, what COVID did is it gave us the temporary escape away from this environment, right? You have the ability to, it's still there, mind you. I mean, aggression, microaggressions and biases can still be there in the form of, you know, people can still communicate with you via emails, phone, Zoom, or I mean, Teams and whatnot. But you have the ability to turn off your camera, right? To have some refuge in your home and to step away and say, you know, I'm not dealing with this. But what happens when you're in the office? And then what happens if you go there to seek refuge, but your oppressor is there, for example, whoever is causing you this harm ends up meeting you at that space. So what we've done is created smaller rooms where individuals can go to meditate or to regroup or recharge, where you don't have to be in the presence of others if that's what you wish. So I just wanted to put that out there as well, that this room is one of many.
Wow, good point. Yeah, that's good to know too, because I didn't know that you guys had other rooms as well, like little individual rooms. So that's really nice. That's good. It's a good idea. What were the challenges that you encountered when you first started this? Like what surprised you?
Some of the challenges I faced was there's a lot of restrictions, right? Like we're not, it's not like I'm decorating Mia's living room, for example, right?
Exactly.
I wish. There's so many restrictions. Oh my goodness. Like from putting stuff up on the walls, you know, a member from the Indigenous community has said, you know, can we do smudging? Because that's a part of their culture, right? That's a part of their community. And so there was a real plants, mind you, like the stuff we used are fake plants. Couldn't use real plants because there's rules around that where the department does not want to spend money on, you know, who's going to water them. So there's so many restrictions on the basic things that you and I would think of. And so as we went shopping or as we were trying to design the space, I was really limited with in terms of the designing and the decorating part of things. Okay. From the organization, though, I think we were my ideas were welcomed with open arms. Super. They were very excited about everything. Honestly, it takes a community to build one. Like we really have to. If you want to see change, it has to come from you. Bring your ideas. What's the worst that could happen? Right. Like they'll say no. Okay. But at least, you know, you've tried. You brought some information. But in terms of challenges, that's all I faced. Otherwise, everything else went very smoothly.
And I know you mentioned that sometimes you would host like an event in there, like every Friday, once a month on Fridays. Mm-hmm. How does that work if you want to plan something or host something in that room? Mm-hmm. Is it kind of welcome to everyone, or do you have like to book it for you and whoever you would like to invite?
That's a good question. So there's a calendar system. You'd have to book. Okay. You don't need to, if you're a large group and you want to. So for example, we're having DTBEN, the Defense Team Black Employee Network, is going to have a coffee talk, sort of like a fireside chat with a DM. And we're purposely using this space to use. So we're going to book it. You know, we're going to notify the chaplaincy, who there has to be some administration and governance behind this, right? Like, so if you do decide to create such a space within your organization, it would have to be linked to an organization that monitors, and there's a calendar system for us, and we book if there's a big event or a big gathering. Otherwise, it's free for all. Anyone can walk in and just have a seat and read a book. There are some, you know, rules that we sort of encourage, like cell phones, talking loudly. It has to be a calm and quiet place. Like you can't go there and, you know, be super loud when others are trying to.
That's great. Thank you. It's so good to hear that there's that in place in you know, your department. I think that's great. What would you recommend to other departments who would like to follow your footsteps? Like, for example, us with NRCan, I know that Neha and I and our mental health and wellness team, that was something that we would really, when she explained to us, something that we would really like to bring on into our department and see more of that incorporated for our colleagues and ourselves.
I would say take the step. Like, it's really, it doesn't, it could sound overwhelming, you know, like when you think of it as a task or where do I go, what do I do? But, you know, gather your information and present it. I guarantee you, you know, if your organization is, you know, trying to be more inclusive, they're really thinking about the employees' well-being, their mental health, it would be a great place to start, you know. There's so many rooms that are not being used, you know. It wouldn't be, for me, the way I presented it was, it's a win for the organization. It's a win. Like, I'm bringing you a win.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost much, right? It was already in existence. Or in your case, I'm sure you could find some empty rooms that are not being utilized at the moment, a refuge place to go to. I would say, you know, just put a deck together and present it. And most likely, you know, you'll be received well, because it's going to be a win for your organization.
Mm-hmm. And for listeners who do want to put that together, and want to use the D&D Sanctuary Space as an example, we'll be putting the links to all of the articles in the podcast description. So you will find it there and on our social media. But I had a couple follow-up. Okay, so in terms of logistics, in terms of the calendar booking site, I imagine did you guys just use a new calendar and Outlook? Because we can do that, right? We could just create, for example, us, we have an engagement calendar and we can make a few other accounts. So is that what you use, or did you have a different system?
So for us, we have an intranet website. Like, the chaplain services has an intranet website. Okay. Where you can, the links are there. Do you know what I mean? Like, through the internet, and you're able to either, you know, contact them, send a request, any calendar really on SharePoint, for example, to book.
Yeah, that sounds great. And in terms of the plants, that's too bad that they weren't using real plants. But I imagine, I don't think that would be as much of a thing for NRCan. So for listeners who may be from different departments, I would just probably also inquire as to what the restrictions might be, because yours might differ from D&D. For example, I know at NRCan, we redid a couple of floors, and some of those nooks on the floors had a bunch of plants. I could tell you, going into those nooks, they were like glass areas, and we had real plants in there, and the air felt warmer. It gave a much different atmosphere than if you just stepped out of the space and went into the regular office space. So have a look to see what your department might be able to allow. Amazing. Forward to having you back, Faduno, because we're going to be talking much more about.
Just want to thank you, Faduno, so much for joining us today and explaining and sharing this with us. I think it's so exciting and nice to see in other departments, and especially like that you brought this up to, you know, it's a courageous move, I would say, to bring this forward to someone too. So I think this is great.
Thank you. Thank you both. You know, we all do our part. I hear a lot of, it could be, you know, working in this, and like, for example, the equity seeking, you know, diversity and inclusion, anti-racism areas within the public service, it can be sometimes difficult, right? Like the resistance is real, the challenges are real, but I always find that, you know, we all have our part, and I love using my creativity as an outlet to do better, you know, it didn't cost me much. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just you hop on that train and you do what you can. I wanted to leave you with one other thing, and perhaps we can continue this conversation another time as well. But water, another topic that came up was water, having a washroom close by. So if you are choosing the space and you don't have a place to do wudu, we say wudu, like in the Muslim community, the Islamic community, we wash, we make ablution before prayers. And so it was very important. D&D actually went out of their way and created the traditional, like you would feel like you're going into Mecca. Like if you see, it's absolutely amazing. One for the men, separate one for the women. And it has sort of like that bench, you know, where the fountains where you can wash before you go in and make a prayer. But of course, you know, this was already here. If you don't have that, then, and you're looking for that space, it would be nice to be near a washroom, although it can be awkward to make the washings in the washrooms. But if you don't have a choice, being close to water, somewhere where people are able to use a facility would be a great option as well. I just wanted to leave you with that.
Yeah, thanks. But that is a really good point that we have to consider when we're bringing this to Enercan, for sure. I love what you say about bringing your own creativity to the workplace, because sometimes that's the best way that we can help somebody else. Thanks so much again, Faduno, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
This episode was hosted by Sean Karamani and Neha Shehzad and produced by Marcella Popovich.